The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's good, fellas. It's good to have the staff back. I mean, we come up the side steps here and come in the door there right beside the choir. And Brother Palmore said, you realize this is the first night that all the staff is back. And, of course, different ones traveling, representing the college and things of that nature. And so it's good to have them back. Good to have the college tour group back, too. And then they do a good job on that. Represented us well, by the way, as we were out on the road through them and going to various churches. And so they did a good job. And I loved it when I saw the pictures. I know that they were in Coldwater, Mississippi, and I watched them paint the outside of the gym. I watched them go to different churches, and they were always serving, always serving. Matter of fact, Mrs. Bachman, they have had many tour groups to come through their church over the years, and she said, out of all the tour groups that's ever been in our church, there's only one that has impressed me, and that is Lone Star Baptist College. She said, you know, I didn't have to go in and wait on them. They were wanting to wait and to serve, and they were just anxious to be able to show how much they care. And she said, that's a rarity nowadays. She said, most tour groups that come through, you can't even talk to them because they're sitting in the living room on their cell phones and they're texting people. And she said, but you know, with the guys that came from here, it wasn't that way. You know, they fellowship, they talk, they actually listened and talked back, and not in a bad way, but they did talk, and so that's good. Pray for Brother Jonathan. He'll be one of the main speakers at youth camp next week, and so you pray for him, and there'll be several churches there, so please pray. He'll be preaching Monday night, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, then finish it out on Thursday night. And so you pray for him as he preaches. I know that he would appreciate that very much. Can I tell you a story before I get into the preaching? I don't want to put it in the sermon, and so I'd like to just be able to tell you the story about what happened to Brother Bachman. Some of you were here this morning, but I realize we have 60 to 70 workers that are not in here on Sunday morning, and I think it'd be a little bit unfair to you if you didn't hear the story to see how God did some really neat stuff, but also how God was able to work in their lives and teach them some things as well. They got into the bus, and of course it's called the Bachman bus, and by the way, it's parked right back here if you'd like to go see it. And they got out on the road for about an hour, and it either warped ahead or cracked ahead or something. Black smoke came running out, and so it wouldn't run any further. So he called me up, and I called Brother Crutcher into the our staff room, and I called Brother Craig into the staff room, and I said, come on, fellas, we got to talk. We got a decision we need to make, and I need your input. And so we started to talk about how to rescue them. They're sitting on the side of the road, and so we thought, well, we'll just send them a bus. They can get on the bus, and we'll get Brother Craig or Brother Crutcher to drive the bus up to Memphis, and then take the kids, drop them off, then drive back. But then we started figuring out how much gas money that was going to cost and all sorts of other stuff. And so then we began to account how many kids he had, and he had two vehicles, not just the bus. So we decided to send a van. And then we had to make a choice. What van? Well, we only have two drivers that's insured on the college van, and that is it. But on the church van, we had a multiple amount of people that was insured on the church van. So we had a large selection to choose from, and so we narrowed it down. We called Kenny up, said, Kenny, would you like to be a blessing to Brother Bachman? And of course, Kenny's got a great servant's heart, and he said, yes, I would. And he was really the only one that was on there that could possibly do it and miss if he had to his Sunday, with the bases being covered as they presently were with him being on tour group. And so he volunteered, took off, but before he took off, we found out the van did not have air. It was operating. I mean, it just the air didn't work, and I felt really bad putting 15 kids in there and have to travel for about 7 hours with no air. And so we decided to get the air fixed. So Brother Crutcher took it down, had it serviced, got it fixed. About 3 o'clock, he was on the road, Kenny was, going over, and so they got in the van, they drove for about an hour or so, and all of a sudden the front tire blew out. And after the front tire blew out, nothing was open, so they stayed in the hotel. Brother Bachman, the guy, at 5 a.m., went out, went to a car shop, a tire place, got the tire replaced, came back, was going to eat a good wholesome breakfast with the kids, and he did. And then they came out to get into the vehicle to take off, and the other front tire had gone flat. And so he decided to take it back to Walmart as well and take it off. And somebody helped him to take it off. And so we took the tire off, went to Walmart, got it replaced, heading about 3 hours into the journey now, and the back tire blew. So you have three tires that blew on the trip. And I asked him, I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Man, my spirit's great." He said, "The kids can't wait for the fourth tire to blow." And so they went to Walmart. The first two tires they put on there were not the right tires. And so the manager at where we got the third tire said, "You know, they put the wrong tires on, and so that would be bad in the long run." He said, "Let me put all four tires on the right ones. I won't charge you the extra for the wrong ones they put on the front." So we got four brand new tires. Amen. We have an air conditioner that works now.
Amen.
Amen. And so, but they had an experience, and we had, of course, the Bachman bus. Of course, that was Mark's bus. Mark is his brother. He's a missionary to Turkey. So he's in Turkey right now. Mark had 16 children, and so he wasn't able to carry them all in the car. So that's how come you have the Bachman bus. And so it is sitting back there for us to evaluate. But they had a time. And Kenny, I guess, is still en route. I know he went to church there this morning, was going to be en route coming back. But we had no earthly, I apologized. I over and over and over again, I said, "I'm so sorry." And he said, "Oh, it's not your fault. These things happen." And boy, I thank God for a good spirit. Amen. You know, I like to keep my friends. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Here's what the Bible says again to reemphasize. The Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So the subject matter here is fellowship. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Look down at verse 6. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, "If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Look at verse 7. The Bible says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Again, talking about fellowship. Fellowship, the word fellowship is mentioned 16 times in your Bible. You'll see that God gives some identifications of that fellowship and what happens when that fellowship is broken. Somebody said the state of fellowship is two people coming together and having that which is a communion together. They're communicating together. They're talking together. You remember the story of God and Adam in the garden. And of course, there was a broken fellowship when Adam did choose to sin. All right. And so we're going to study this tonight just a little bit. But I really do believe that many times, even in churches this size, that you have people that are out of fellowship. Now, they might be out of fellowship with God. They might be out of fellowship with each other. But you see that there's people that are just out of fellowship. People out of fellowship. Maybe because of the fact something didn't go right in their life or et cetera, et cetera. But I met preachers that are out of fellowship. I met Sunday school teachers that are out of fellowship. I met bus captains that are out of fellowship, assistant pastors that are out of fellowship. So I want to just examine this tonight. Let me give you some things. Number one, consider the reality of a broken fellowship. It certainly can happen, okay? Consider the reality of a broken fellowship. Now, understand this. Sometimes a person doesn't realize how bad the broken fellowship is, because they get used to it. You know, somebody breaks the arm, after a while, they put it in the cast, they can walk around, and after a while, they get used to the arm being in the cast. Now, the arm is broken, but they're used to it being that way. I know probably by the end of summer is about the time that I get used to the summer heat, okay? But all that time, my body is getting used to it. Did you know that you can get used to something? Doesn't mean it's right, doesn't mean it's okay, doesn't mean it's acceptable in the eyes of God or the eyes of others. But I've seen people that have a toothache, they get used to it, and so they just live on. I've seen people that have poor vision, they get used to it, and they just live on. I've seen people, if you would please, that have sins in their life, and they just get used to it, and so they just live on. Over in Judges chapter 16, you'll see that that which was Samson was about the same way. Samson, here in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, the Bible says, and she said, this is Delilah, she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of sleep, and he said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And listen to the portion of the verse. He says, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Okay, so here was Samson. He said, look, man, I'm just used to going out. But you know, that fellowship was broken with God, and he didn't even realize it. He was so used to doing what he wanted to do, the way that he wanted to do it, not pleasing God, not being yielded to God. And because of that, when he was going out to face the Philistines, he did not even know that the power of God, yea, the very presence of God, had departed from him. So a broken fellowship can be denied. You know, somebody can live in denial. They can say, well, you know, everything's okay. Boy, everything's fine. You know, I'm just as good as anybody else in my walk with God. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. And they live in denial. Sometimes a person has broken fellowship. You know, they live, and it's often disguised. You know, they come to church, they got their 10-pound Bible, they say amen just like everybody else, they shake hands just like everybody else, maybe they sing in a choir, maybe they teach a Sunday school class, maybe they even are one of our preachers that preach in one of the 11 services that we have on a Sunday morning, or maybe they're a bus driver, or maybe they're a choir director with one of the choirs, or maybe they're a nursery coordinator, or maybe they're a nursery director, or maybe they're an usher, maybe they're a deacon, you know, but they live in that which is denial, or they even go as far as putting a disguise on it. You know they're not right with God. They know that they're not in good fellowship with God. They know that they're not in good fellowship with other believers, and what do? They put a disguise on it. Now, can I tell you, the Lord knoweth the heart. The Lord knoweth the heart. Sometimes a broken fellowship is declared by God. You know, you can walk against God so long, but then after a while, God, maybe through a message, you heard these young people get up here tonight, and they gave testimony. Most of them said this. It wasn't necessarily one message. It was a collection of messages that God used to kind of guide me. What can I tell you? The Word of God does not return void. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces. It's piercing, okay, to the soul and to the spirit, and it's a dividing asunder, if you will. So the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God, by the way, does not return void. Always goes out to accomplish that which it's supposed to accomplish. Now, by the way, it will always accomplish something in your life, not necessarily the way it accomplishes something in somebody else's life. How often have we said, man of God gets up, man of God preaches a message, and to somebody over here individually, God uses that message to speak to their heart and gives direction in this way. But then God uses it over here to give somebody else a direction about the decision they need to make in this way. The Word of God is that which is individualized by that that is the Holy Spirit. So you can have a general truth, but the Holy Spirit gives personal application. Amen. All right? And we all need that in our life. So here's what we see. You know, you consider the reality of a broken fellowship. It's true. People can break fellowship. You can break fellowship in your marriage and not have a good relationship with your husband, with your wife. You can break fellowship with your children and not have a good relationship with your children. You can break fellowship with your grandchildren, not have a good relationship with your grandchildren. You can break fellowship with those that work for you and those that work with you and not have a good relationship, yea, fellowship with them. We all need to take and work on that fellowship. I was over at Brother Coronado's house the other day. I called him up and I said this, and I love this. I called him up and said, hey, I'd like to come by and see the baby, and beautiful baby. He said, preacher, we were standing there in the living room. I said, how's it feel? He said, preacher, pray for me. He said, we've not had a newborn in our house in 10 years. 10 years. So now they're going all the way back to where they were as young parents, and they're going to go through the process. But the good thing about it, watch this, they've already been there twice. They know what it was to hold the babies. They know that. They've been there. They've already gotten the t-shirt. Now, can I tell you, listen to me tonight. Once you have tasted of fellowship, don't live it. Remember how sweet it was. Remember how good it was. Remember when the Holy Spirit had free course to be able to work in you and through you. Consider the reality of a broken fellowship. Understand tonight that that broken fellowship can cause great harm to you. Statement number two, consider the reasons for a broken fellowship. Let me read you a story. Go there if you will. Look at Acts chapter 15 in your Bible. Acts chapter 15, look at the story here. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. The Bible says in some days, verse 36, Acts chapter 15. The Bible says, in some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and to visit the brethren in every city and where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So here, Paul is talking to that which is Barnabas. Now, you do understand that that Barnabas was the one that went and got Saul after he got saved, later became the Apostle Paul, and then they went off together. Now it's Saul that's speaking up as the leader. You can always tell when you've discipled somebody enough. How can you tell? When they want to lead in spiritual things. Well, how do you know that you've helped them enough? Okay, when you don't have to call them up and say, hey, I missed you at church, but they stop you in the lobby and they say, man, I'll tell you what, the Word of God is so good, I learned something tonight. Okay, that's somebody that's going from the being somebody that needs to be helped and mentored and loved to somebody that says, hey, look, here I am. Now I'm leading. Now I'm trying to help. Okay, watch this. And so here they are. He said, let us go. This is Paul speaking up now, leading Barnabas. He said, let's go to all these churches again, visit the brethren again in every city where we preach the word of God. Hey, let's just go and see how they do. Look at verse 37. The Bible says, and Barnabas determined to take, it says, with him John, whose surname was Mark. So he's wanting to take John Mark. He said, look, let me take John Mark. Let John Mark come. Now watch what happens in verse 38. And Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed, it says, from them, it says, from Pamphylia, it says, and went not with them to the work. So he said, wait a minute, I don't want to take John Mark. I don't want to do it. You remember John Mark? John Mark started off to go with us, decided not to go with us. Hey, look, I got a bad feeling about this. I don't want to take John Mark. Now, by the way, Paul should remember there was a day when he wasn't accepted. He should have remembered that when he went up to try and get close to the disciples didn't want anything to do with Paul because they had heard about his previous things that he was doing in persecuting the church. They didn't trust him. But it was Barnabas that gave that which was Paul a hand up and said to the disciples, hey, it's okay, he's with me. I watched him preach on the road to Damascus, he's with me, I'll vouch for him. You don't have to be afraid. I'm vouching for him. It's okay. Well, Paul should have extended that same type of love and that same type of forgiveness and that same type of, hey, so you have fallen, John Mark. So you did backslide, John Mark. So you did get afraid, John Mark. So you did turn back, John Mark. But I've got news for you. Hey, we allow you to try and come again. And by the way, aren't you grateful that God forgives? And aren't you grateful that God forgives over and over and over? Preacher, I got up and I started to preach, forgot my notes, got up, started to give a sermon, forgot my illustrations. Not only that, I forgot my Bible. I mean, it was just terrible. But God can still use you. Amen. Preacher, I got on the bus today, gave it everything I got, but forgot my keys. Had to go all the way back to the house, get the, preacher, and it was terrible. I mean, we were late, but God can still use you again. Hey, don't be quick to give up. Don't be quick to throw in the towel. Don't be quick to say, okay, but God, you don't understand. You cannot use me. You have a loving and caring and forgiving and restoring God, and He cares about you, and He wants to help you, and He wants to encourage you, but you do your part. Now, wait a minute. What is your part? Consider the reasons for a broken fellowship. Look, if you will, in verse 15, the Bible says, and there was contention. It says, and the contention was so sharp between them, that they departed asunder, it says, one from another. And it says, and so Barnabas took Mark, and the Bible says, and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul took Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And so they decided that they were going to split, because the tension, the contention, the division, the wall was so tight between them. Now, can I tell you, there are reasons for broken fellowship. Sometimes there's a disagreement. Breaks fellowship. You and your wife all of a sudden have a disagreement. She says, I think we ought to eat this tonight. No, honey, I don't want that. We had it for the past 3 nights. She says, but leftovers is better the fourth go-round. And okay, or wait a minute, honey, would you change the oil? I think the oil needs changing. Would you change the oil? The we're way overdue. I think that we were supposed to change it a while ago. It says that we're 13,000 miles overdue. And he says, would you stop nagging me about the oil? I'll change it in time. Next day he goes out, gets in the car, takes off. Smoke comes out, blows the engine. It's not a time for you as a wife to say, told you. Okay? Now, I'm saying this tonight. Sometimes there's the disagreements. That's how come God gives you some good verses in your Bible where it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What's that mean, preacher? Don't go to bed as a married couple mad at each other. Amen. Work out your problems. Work out your disagreements. But don't go to bed mad at each other. Are you listening, Gracie? Okay, got it? Okay. All right. And so don't go to bed mad at each other. Work out all the problems, all the disagreements, all the struggles. Okay. Sometimes those disagreements will break fellowship. Sometimes disobedience to God is the main reason for breaking fellowship. Isn't it amazing? God says, hey, do this. He didn't say if you want to. He didn't say if you feel like it. He didn't say if it hits you on your spiritual day. No, if God says to do something, he gives you a command, you're not supposed to pray about it. You're not supposed to consider it. You're not supposed to deliberate it. You're simply supposed to do it. Okay, but when we are disobedient to God, it breaks fellowship. Sometimes a person will break fellowship with God because they're disloyal to God. They become loyal to something else. Might be a job, might be a person, might be an opportunity. But wait a minute, consider the reasons for broken fellowship. Let me give you this, okay? Consider the results of broken fellowship. It's got some awful results. Over in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, God is light. Now, by the way, if we're supposed to fellowship with him, we're supposed to walk in the light as he is. Okay, so what happens? When I break fellowship, the light goes out. When I break fellowship with God, stay with me now, the light goes out. When I'm not obeying God, I can't see anything. If I can't see anything, I can't make spiritual decisions. Why? Because I don't know what is spiritual. Amen. When you're walking in the darkness, you're going to stub your toe. You're going to hurt yourself. You're probably going to say some things you shouldn't have said. You're probably going to get mad at somebody that's not even in the dark room and blame somebody else for turning off the light when you should have had common sense to keep the light on yourself. When there's a broken fellowship between you and God, what happens is this, darkness surrounds you. That's why I said, walk in the light as I am in the light. You know, in the Bible says that you are the children of the light. Light. I'm not supposed to be walking in darkness. You're not supposed to be walking in darkness. By the way, walking in the light can be fun. You can have fun walking in the light. You know, somebody's doing something and it's darkness, it's sin. You can say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Come on, tell me the common sense about that. Hey, don't do that anymore. And you can begin to point out some things. And it's a delightful thing to see people make decisions to be able to start walking in the light. You know, over in 3 John, 3 John 3 John 4 says about children, when they're walking in obedience, what it does is it brings delight to the parent. When they're walking in the truth. Now wait a minute, can I tell you what? When you're walking in the truth, it brings delight not just to your parent, but to your Sunday school teacher, to your principal, the college administrator, to the pastor, to the deacons, to the bus captain, to your parents. Just because of the fact you're walking in the truth. Now consider this. There's results of a broken fellowship. What is that? Darkness. Well, I'm not going to read my Bible today. It doesn't matter. I don't have time. Dark. Dark. I heard about a preacher that he was walking through the living room. And his wife had some of these long pins. She was sewing that day and left them on the floor. He didn't take time to turn the light on. There was one of these long pins that was nestled down close to that which was a couch sticking out. He didn't turn the light on. He was in a hurry to find the bathroom. And all of a sudden his foot hit that pin. Don't get ahead of me. His foot hit that pin and that pin drove into his big toe. Now, at that time, I don't think he was going to run around the living room saying, "Yes!" I don't think he was happy. Matter of fact, he called his wife in the room, "Hey! Why'd you leave those?" And she said, very calmly, "If you just would have turned the light on, you would have solved them." Now, maybe, maybe not. But the fact is, there's more of a greater opportunity for you to see something that's harmful if you're looking right at it than if the light is off, and though you're looking right at it, you can't see it. Come on. Bible says, what know you not? That your body is the temple of God. Now, I'm supposed to glorify God in my spirit and in my body. That's what I'm supposed to do. Okay? But if my light is not on, I don't see it. I don't see how to glorify God. I see nothing wrong with smoking. I see nothing wrong with doping. I see nothing wrong with immorality. I see nothing wrong with all these other things. You know why? Dark. Dark. You say, "Well, you don't understand, preacher. I tell you what, I just don't see the need of having good fellowship with God." Do you understand that when you're not having good fellowship with God, you can't even get your prayers answered? I think most people nowadays, if you're not careful, you live like there is no God. I cannot tell you, there is a God. And God can answer your prayers, and God can come through for you, and God can work in your life and the life of other people. Wait a minute. When there's a broken fellowship, the results of that is deadness. The Bible says that a lost person is dead in trespasses and sin, but when they get saved, the Holy Spirit quickens them, makes them alive in Christ Jesus. But when a person is not walking in fellowship, it's like they go back to that deadness and they don't hear anything. Their ears are dead. You know, they get their... Anybody got a cell phone? Can I have it? What they do is they sit there and, man, they're just texting on their cell phone the whole time preacher's speaking. What is that? That's deadness. They don't understand how important it is to hear the Bible. Maybe because of a hard heart, maybe because they got so far away from God, the fellowship is not there. You know, they can't wait to get home just to watch some a bad movie on television so they can get their fix. Now, I'm saying you understand this tonight. Don't do anything that would jeopardize that fellowship. Don't do anything. Okay, Brother Butler, let's go. Ready? Here we go. Stand up if you will. Hold your Bible. There he is. There's God right there, a symbol of God. All right? Now, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. How can two walk together lest they be?
Agreed.
Talk to me. How can two walk together lest they be?
Agreed.
Agreed. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that an adult is known by their ways. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible talks about a child is known by his doings. So hopefully you teach your child to do the right things enough that later on it creates a way.
Amen.
All right? In the Old Testament, or in the New Testament times, many times children of God were known by as children of the way. Why? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So they'd be pointing out, oh, that's one of the children of the way. Okay, here we go. And so we're walking along in good fellowship. By the way, as long as we're walking towards God, you hear the preaching, you know what's right. You got a Bible. You know what's right. Nobody ought to have to, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Man, that's heading the wrong way. Nobody ought to have to do that. You know what's right. So as long as we're walking right, man, great fellowship. How you doing? Man, how's the kids? How's the wife? How's the grandkids? Wonderful. Okay, all right. But then he just keeps walking, and then all of a sudden I back off. Had enough. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody sat in my pew. Somebody talked bad about me. My feelings get hurt. Okay? Brother Crutcher, stand up. And so I can always find somebody that's like I am. I can all. Can you believe that one person? Man, that one person, now I tell you what, they bothered me. They talked about so-and-so, and that bothers me that they would talk about somebody. Do you realize what that person did?
I can't believe it. Terrible.
Terrible that somebody would talk like that person did about that other person. I can't believe that anybody would have the audacity to talk about somebody like that.
I can't believe it either. That's
I terrible. Can't believe it. It's absolutely terrible. And the whole time we're doing it, we're talking about somebody else. In case you didn't catch on yet. But you can always find fellowship with somebody. You can always do that. In every church, listen, we're a soul winning church. Amen. That means people are coming in at every stage of life.
Amen.
We have people in this building tonight did drugs last week. You said, we have people in this building tonight just got in a knockdown, drag out fight over something ridiculous before they came to church. We have people in this church that said both good words and bad words this week. You can always find somebody that's just like you. You can always find somebody that's just like you. When the kids go to camp, watch this, it'll be true. It'll be true. The spiritual kids will be drawn to the spiritual kids. They'll find somebody spiritual in somebody else's church, and the spiritual kids, that's who I'm hanging out with. Those that are not as spiritual, sort of like lukewarm, they're going to find their group. There will be those that are cold, not right with God at all, they're going to find their group. Same way in church. Same way in church, all right? And so what happens is, he goes on walking for God, I fall back, I'm going to find my group somewhere. I'm about to stand up, Brother Palmore, halfway, all right? And if I don't like him because he's too cold, then what I do is I come up here. And then I get a little bit spiritual. Did you hear about so-and-so? We need to pray for them.
Yes.
You know, I heard that they were, you know, did you hear about that? Man, I know you love God. Let me tell you, it was really bad. Let me tell you all the stuff about it, because I know you're a concerned believer like I am.
Yes, I love them.
Yeah. And so I'm only sharing this with you. Just with you.
Okay.
Just with you. I won't share it with anybody else. Stay right here. I'm not going to share it with it. And so would you pray about this?
I
would
sure
you do
will.
That?
Yes.
Hey, listen, I know you're a concerned believer, and I'm just going to talk to you only.
Okay.
I am really concerned about so-and-so. You know, can we pray together?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. All right. And so all of a sudden we get spiritual.
Come on.
All right. Okay. Be seated. Not you. I need you. But I want to find the hottest one I can find. Somebody, look, don't, you say, well, I tell you what, I don't want to get around somebody that's too spiritual, because if I get around somebody that's too spiritual, they're going to make me feel bad. You need to feel bad.
Amen.
Find somebody that's more spiritual than you and hold on to them.
Right.
You don't have to be as, come back here, Brother Butler. You don't have to be as spiritual as they are. You don't have to be as spiritual. Hey, look, I really need help in my soul winning. Would you help me?
Yes, sir.
Would you help me? Oh, good. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you. You're going too fast. You're going too fast for me. Teach me this part again. Can you help me a little bit more? Can you do it? Okay. Oh, good, good. Oh, good. Wow. Okay. I need help in my prayer life. Can you help me with my prayer life? Okay, good, good, good. Oh, wow, thank you so much. Okay. Somebody might have to pull you along. Okay, don't get mad at them. Don't get mad at them. Don't get mad at them. Sunday school teacher, all of a sudden now, I'm not in Sunday school. He turns around, says, where were you?
Where were you?
None of your business.
Well, we missed you.
You missed me?
Yes, sir.
For real?
Yes.
Are you for real?
Yes, sir.
You really missed me?
Yes, I did.
You actually knew I wasn't there?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Come with me.
I didn't come again.
Oh. Where were you? We missed you again in Sunday school.
Well, you know, I mean, I just had some things come up. You know, I tell you, my dog had a runny nose, and I mean, it was just, you know, and you got to really take care of those runny noses on those dogs because it can get absolutely messy. And so, you know, but man, thank you so much. And because he cared, I follow along. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I miss church. Uh-oh. I miss church.
Hello, are you there?
Oh, hi. Yeah, yeah, I'm
yes,
here.
Sir, we missed you at church.
Who is this?
This is Brother Butler.
What church?
Parkside Baptist Church.
I remember you.
Yes.
Yeah, you're the guy who called me about Sunday school when I missed.
Yes, sir.
You're calling me again, aren't you?
Yes, sir. We really missed
you. We're on the phone together.
Yes. Did you get my note I left on the door?
Note on the door?
Yes, sir.
No,
yeah,
I didn't.
I left you a note. My wife and I came by to see you.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Church isn't the same without you. We really want you back.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Not the same without me.
Every time I look
come
down,
on.
Your pew's empty. We want to see you in church.
Really?
Yes.
Come on, really?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be there next Sunday.
Oh, thank you.
Now, by the way, you listen to me. That's the way it is. But there will be some time after a while that it's like, wow, I like that part. Why? Hey, that made sense. That made sense. Come on. Man, that helped me a little bit. And the whole time I'm getting closer to truth. The whole time I'm getting closer to the truth. Come on. Hey, first time you come to church, let's do it one more time. I'm done. Here we go. First time we come to church, I, he tries to get me to come into the church.
Come on in.
No, I don't want to go in there.
Hey, these people are nice.
They look weird.
Yeah. Well, they are a little weird, but they're friendly.
But you know, they're all dressed up, and
don't worry about it.
You know, I don't have the clothes they have.
Don't worry about that. I mean, some of these people, they came 6 months ago, and they didn't have dress clothes either.
Really?
And we do have people in church that don't dress up, so don't worry about it. Yes.
You think I'll fit in?
Oh, you'll fit right in.
You don't think anybody make fun of me?
No.
For real?
They like you.
Can I sit in the balcony?
Sure, if you want.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I didn't come again.
You didn't come again. Well, you know, let me help you out. You know, I watch a lot of Christians that struggle with that. And don't get discouraged, you know. Sometimes you see that big F, fail, you know, you can make it. And it's going to be all right. We all fail. Just get back up.
I failed?
No, you didn't fail. You failed to come to church.
Oh.
Get back up. You'll be all right. You keep coming.
Okay, I'll try.
All right.
I'll try.
Come on, let's go.
I failed? Did I fail?
No, you're doing good.
Okay,
you're doing good. Keep on coming.
And that's all they need is just a little bit of encouragement. That's it. Hey, don't, thank you, fellas. Don't live and die to yourself.
Amen.
See somebody come to church and never been to church before. Hey, be friendly with them.
Amen.
Go over, shake their head. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming. You made my night. Wow. Hey, come back Wednesday night. Make my night again. You know, and work with them. I'm saying this. Consider the results. Results is darkness. Result is deadness. You ready? Results is defeat. Defeat. You know, try to help them to overcome their defeat. Then let me give you this. I'm done. Here it is. Let me give you just some quick remedies. Here it is. Consider the remedies of a broken fellowship. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, realize you're not playing with God. Every time you miss church, it breaks God's heart. Stop playing with it like it's not important. One institution that Jesus Christ created in his lifetime, and that was the local church.
Amen.
So don't be somebody that's trampling the blood of Christ underfoot like it's not important.
Yeah.
You say, well, I tell you what, I'm coming and I don't get much out of it. Might be because you're not putting much in it.
Amen.
You know, you get involved, you serve God through your local church. Okay, here it is. I consider the remedy of a broken fellowship. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. All right, so what do? You must have the desire. Get a desire. Man, I miss church. I need to be there. Get the desire back. Whatever has your desire, get rid of it if it's not the local church. Amen. Get rid of it if it's not the Bible. I mean, you just decide you're going to put God first. Right. Put God first. I can only think of just a few times I ever missed church in my life, and that was because I was so sick, I couldn't even get out of bed. I mean, I couldn't get out of bed. I'm talking about like next to the hospital. That was going to be the next step. That's the only time I ever missed church. I was not one of these, Mrs. Wells was not one of these, that every time the kids got sick, we both stayed home to chase the runny nose. No, my wife was very, very kind to me, and she said, look, you're the man of the house, you know, and we talked about these things early on, and the men need to be the more spiritual to help guide. You need to be in church more than anything else. And so when kids were high fevers and almost ready for the hospital and just throwing up, and but a lot of times, you know, of course, I was in the ministry. A lot of times we'd have to bring the child sick to church because we both had responsibilities, put the child in a room, check on the child every so often, just make sure they're okay. Still alive, okay, you know, and that we could serve them because we had responsibilities to fulfill. Now, can I tell you, there has to be some character. Has to be some character, all right? So what do? You make the decision. You know, the Bible says that here the prodigal son, he said, I will arise and go unto my father. He says, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He says, make me as one of the hired servants. So he came back with the attitude of, hey, God, man, I'm coming back to the Father. I really need God, you to work in dad's heart. Forgive me, restore. Hey, God, would you do that? And by the way, God is good to be able to do that. God is the one that can help to be able to do that. You ready? Here we go. Then become dedicated. Become dedicated. After you become dedicated, here's what's going to happen. You're going to delight in it. Prodigal son came home. Father said, he said to his servants, he said, bring me the best robe, put it on him. He says, put the ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring me the fatted calf, kill it. We'll eat together. We'll be merry. The Bible says, for this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And the Bible says, and they began to be merry. Okay, so what do? Realize this, that when you're in here long enough, you change your desires. You change your desires. You sit in church long enough, say, man, that was good. That was right there. That was a gold nugget. Going to write that one down. That was another gold nugget. Going to write that one down. That was another gold nugget. Going to write that one down. But you come looking for the gold nuggets. And eventually, if you look hard enough, guess what? You're going to find them. Is that right? But you got to be in there. God's got something for you. But don't break the fellowship. Keep your fellowship sweet with God. Keep your fellowship sweet with each other. Keep your fellowship sweet so that you can walk in the light as God said, I am in the light. Don't forget, you are children of the light, not of the darkness. Keep the fellowship sweet so you can be all that you're supposed to be.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.